about what it's like, you know, adjusting to doing your voice talent rather than where you're strictly all you have is your voice. Is it,
it's slightly annoying in a way. John gets it's John's game, you know. John takes us, he takes the essences out of our vocal things, and then and you know, they do film us when we're performing so that they can animate from that. But it means that you just have to put as much as you can into the voice, and then you don't know quite where it will go after that, and then you see the finished product afterwards. So it's a director's oeuvre. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. For French word, oof, egg. What really annoys me, I mean, because I do love doing anime, and this is great, but I would like to have met everyone on the thing. You know, it never happens.
Yeah.
We meet each other now, but it'd be great if we just even did a read-through before. I don't know, I should tell this to John, if there's any way that everyone can sit down and do a read-through of the thing before it starts. But it starts and fits
right. Yeah, I think that's... although on the first one, I did get to work one day with Paul Newman.
And I went
to New York and got to record with him, and it was great. He actually had some questions about, well, I don't know if this would really, you know, because he was so knowledgeable about racing. And then John, like, kind of took what he was saying and went back and reworked the script based on something that Paul was saying.
Did he ask for that to happen?
He didn't.
I mean, because
he didn't, like, demand. He just sort of raised some questions.
No, but, I mean, the idea that you two being together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's unusual, isn't it?
No, it was... I think it was John's idea, and just thought it would be exciting for me.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Was it exciting?
Yeah.
Was that the only time you met him?
Yep. Then I met him when we did the promotion for the movie. We went to one of the... Exactly. Yeah, we went to Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte, Jimmy Johnson was there, he interviewed Paul and me, and then Paul said he wanted to take one of the cars, we're going to spin around the track, and he, you know, I asked the race car drivers, how's he doing, and they're saying he's great, so... I didn't drive with them, but then they drove me around, and you know, I also got to drive around in a Formula One type, you know, not exactly a Formula One, but that sort of shape where they kind of had a little place for me to sit, and that was unbelievable because it felt like, you know, we're going in to make this turn and you're bracing because you know from your years of driving you're not going to be able to make this turn at the speed that you're going. So you're just, you know, it takes a while for your brain to realize, okay, this is a different type of, you know, high performance car than my Prius is.
No, have you done race car driving?
Not really.
Because they've got a film, a show called Top Gear in Britain, where they invite people to come and drive these really kind of ordinary cars around a speed track. And when you have to brake from 110 miles an hour down to... Do we have
I gave up on
but 110 miles an hour, breaking down to 10 miles an hour in half a second makes my gut. I couldn't do it, so I went around twice on a practice thing, and my stomach, because I'm not a good traveler, my inner ear had gone, and I just I would not make a racing driver. So the fact that Paul Newman could do it, I'm jealous of that, because I'd like to have been Paul Newman and Steve McQueen.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
not. I'm
did
just.
You draw the show as he raised and did
yeah.
twice.
I did do it, yeah, I did it. And after twice ran on the practice runs, the actual run that I did, I couldn't give a damn because I was so ill. I was feeling so ill, I just wanted to throw up. And I stayed feeling wanted to throw up for the rest of the day. It's that. I just couldn't make it.
Oh, and since Cars 1, have you had a new experience with young kid fans?
Yeah, I definitely. Somebody was just asking me, do you ever say ka-chow? And that's, I say that it's sort of because, you know, parents will say, this is Lightning McQueen, and the kid just stands there. Not even disbelieve, just more, what are you talking about? And so then I'll sort of ka-chow.
Well, and then do they recognize your face more from Marley?
Maybe, sometimes. I was thinking more little kids with cars, but,
well, that's what I was wondering if, you know, that audience might cross over.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Does, hello, my name's Ricky from Camp Circle. How's it going? Do you guys feel that your characters in the movie portray some sort of environmental message? I mean, there is a twist in the end.
Well, mine is complicated.
Your character was never actually knighted. What was it?
Never actually.
The character, since your knighted. Character's name is Sir.
He wasn't knighted. Well, I mean, he was before the film started, logically. Yes, mine is conflicted. If you're looking for a message from John Lasseter, it's interesting because it ends up being an adventure story. The idea that it should be positive about alternative oil fields, which I think he probably is. I know you are, you're driving a Prius,
right.
And I'm not, but I still am positive on it.
Driving a bug, that's hard.
Yes, I know, but I need a growling noise, as I was saying in the previous interview. I think John is positive on alternative fuels, you don't end up coming out with that message from my character quite. So it's a little conflicted, but I just had to be as real as I possibly could and not use any comedy skills at all. Which Larry the Cable Guy did, I think, beautifully.
And obviously the technology behind these films kind of grows in leaps and bounds over the years. Was the process, from your perspective, different from Cars 1 or Cars 2, or does it just kind of all blend into one big, long gig?
It was different because this one seemed more sort of efficient, quicker. It was, I think the story had been worked out better, and the first one, it was, you know, they were sort of figuring it out as we went along, so it was a longer process.
Midnight in Paris, it really struck me how well your voice suits Woody Allen's type of writing and dialogue. Did that surprise you, how natural a fit that was?
Well, what surprised me was, I guess I was playing, you know, the character that Woody Allen might have played or would have played, and yeah, there probably is a cadence that you maybe slip into. I mean, obviously, we're pretty different backgrounds. But people would say that, you know, I sounded like him. As one would say that if I looked a lot like him, which I never had before. But Woody would kind of disagree when someone would say that, saying, no, I don't think no one sounds anything like me or is anything, you know, like me. Couldn't be more different.
Obviously, Carlos is a voice-directed movie, but what's the difference in the directing style between Woody Allen and John Lasseter?
John is more sort of like a kid who's kind of very enthusiastic, and you get a lot of direction or a lot of, you know, kind of context that he gives you for, you know, before you do a scene. And Woody was pretty hands off. He might, you know, have, you know, maybe like some very gentle thing to say, but not much in the way of direction.
Hey guys, did they have the twist your arm to do this film, or did you say, no, I'll do it for free?
Cars?
Yeah.
Well, I was, I met John Lasseter, I think at the Academy Awards, and, you know, years and years ago, and he, I didn't know him, and he said that he and his sons had liked Shanghai Noon, and he had a movie that he was, you know, thinking about doing, and he didn't, you know that anything would come to pass from that. But then they got in touch with me, and so, yeah, excited to work on a movie that it's just a lot easier in an animated movie. And I find it's more sort of, you know, you're kind of in your own sort of imagination, more sort of like a kid, whereas, you know, in a movie, you're that too, you know, wardrobe, hair, makeup, and this, it's more just sort of pure, they'd kind of tell you, and you go, okay, and then you start kind of, so you're seeing it all in your head, and I like doing it that way.
Did you have ideas for where you wanted Lightning to go? I'm sorry.
No, I it doesn't matter. I just want to say Pixar. I was asked, you know, to do, if I want to do something with Pixar, John Lasseter. It's they've just done some beautiful stuff, and they've been really working on story really hard. And I love this world, and I really love The Incredibles. I know it was a different director, but you know, Toy Story is beautiful. It's just animation is going into a different place. And I was talking with John just before this. The world that this goes to, it gets so real. And I used to like toy trains, and you'd have these little shops you could build. I kind of wanted to be in those shops. I think people do when they go to adventure films. They want to escape to those worlds because you have your own problems in real life. And if you can escape into this world, and it gets so real in some ways, London, you know, that is London there. It's kind of amazing they can do that. So it's great to be working with them.
Hetty, did you have Richard Branson in mind with Sir Ansel?
Yes, it was mentioned to me, the idea of Richard Branson, and I do like his style of business of making things with being a very positive and thinking outside the box. It's kind of it's my attitude. I kind of bring that to my exporting my comedy around the world. You know, just do it in different ways. So, and I could have been a businessman.
When you you just were doing the you know the gigs in Paris, is it do you find a different you know? National character in terms of humor.
The way they react?
Yeah, so jokes they could play in England aren't going to work in France.
Well, because I was ambitious still, but I should mention I'm doing my gigs, stand-up comedy in French in Paris at the moment, even though we're in the London room. But this is where this question comes from. But I find that they, as long as I get the kind of alternative audience, the kind of Discovery Channel, History Channel watches, got a bit of an education like Python, like Saturday Night Live, The Simpsons, then we're cool. If we're not, I'm really having to show them the way. But all my stuff is like about Romans, about dinosaurs, about God, about stuff that everyone has, supermarkets. Right. There's a load of stuff you can talk about. But as long as you don't get national about, you know, specific brand names and stuff, if you avoid that stuff, you can take it around the world.
Yeah, I saw that movie, The Trip, the other night.
All right.
Funny, but there's it's very British, some of the, you know, references.
You guys remember your first car?
Yes, indeed.
I remember your first car from the last room.
What was my first car? Mine was a Mini. I grew up in Volkswagen Beetles, but the Mini was my first car. I can't work out how this happened because it had holes in the floor, but the water was coming in, which doesn't make any sense because it means that we were actually driving through water. But there was water in the where my feet go. There was water in the passenger seat, and I was hitching in the car. And he said he was selling it on Monday, so I said I'd buy it for 50 quid from Barnsley in the north of England, and I did, and it was gorgeous, but it fell apart on me. But yeah, the Mini.
You bought it for how much?
50 quid, which is $7,000. No. Just no one else. It's about $75.
Your first car?
My first car was a Chevrolet Blazer. Top.
You kind of sort of answered this question, but I want you to go more into depth. How is being a star of an animated film different from starring in a live action film? And would you consider doing a live action film with animation?
Well, like, you know, when you're dancing next to, like, Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was good enough, Roger Rabbit was great. Bob Hoskins had to go through probably hell to do that.
Yeah.
But Well, I just think it's a director's. It really gives everything to the director, and they can play with it. And they come in. You must have come in a few times. You come in and say, "Can we redo this bit? We've changed the story here." And you go, "I didn't know what the story is in the first place," because they're making it up, and you're just doing your bits. So I think. I mean, I love animation and doing that, and it's great to do this. I get more gritty satisfaction out of doing live action because I can really control what I'm driving the character.
Probably not so much. I mean, he's 5 months old, so. Yeah, I am, and I think that there's a they're building a Cars Land or something at the theme park. So you know, something like that, I imagine, in a few years would be a fun destination.
That's going to be weird. So your kid's going to probably hear your voice.
Yeah.
Going up.
Yeah.
Lightning McQueen. Oh, my God. Daddy, you're in a machine.
Do you have any upcoming projects? I think Wes Anderson was doing without animation. Do you have any other upcoming, either live action or animation
projects? Wes Anderson, he's not doing any animation movie. He's doing a live action movie right now. But I'm not in that. Don't ask for whom the bell tolls.
No, it's accurate. It's actually 11:00.
Really?
Yeah.
That's gotta go. This has gotta be. This needs to be my bedroom.
You want that every hour?
Yes.
It's going to start 11. It's 11 o'clock. This is going to go on. There's another three, I think.
It's a small world.
I think this is the last one.
I know, Pat's 11. Let's do it.
Have you guys talked about Larry the Cable Guy and Hans Krull? And I know you mentioned that he was pretty brilliant in the comedy aspects of
it. It is, because we come from different worlds. You know, probably Owen as well. Larry just comes from a different world of comedy, but his timing and beauty, he played the character very nice. And I just watched the first cut this morning, because I'm on Paris time.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Just drops it in there, nice holds, but it is very nice timing because it can be overplayed. And I thought the way he looked that he would be more broad, but it isn't. It's really pared back, so it's nice.
I know that that was kind of one of the exciting things about doing this one was that it just felt like kind of a new movie because it was sort of more, you know, this great adventure that were kind of international adventure and then this sort of world of, you know, spy and intrigue with Mater and then our sort of friendship, I thought was, I just thought it had, it was funny the way they kind of did those, you know, scenes, you're the bomb. I liked it.
I don't know if you really only drive a Prius as your only car, but what kind of a driver are you in real life? Do you get to use it, sir?
The Prius is a good car to kind of, because it's not a car you really feel, you know, that you don't want to just, you know, fly around in. So it actually kind of, I don't get a lot of speeding tickets.
Can you tell what speed you're doing from the feel of it? I mean, can you think?
It feels sort of a bit shaky when it gets up to sort of high speed. So you don't want to just be hauling ass in a Prius along the PCH.
Is there a Fallout car in your garage besides the Prius?
I do have a Porsche. Yeah, I've had a Porsche that I got. I remember Luke, my brother, always wanted a Porsche, and I'm not that big into cars. And then, over on Wilshire, there's a Porsche dealer. present.